Hello, once again, Miner fans. Welcome, and thanks for listening to this edition of the Fix Up Podcast, exploring the sports, stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP athletics. Hopefully, you and your family are staying healthy and productive. A continuing thank you to all of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and others on the front line whose efforts are so significant and much appreciated. Fortunately, football had completed its season shortly before the pandemic began to change our way of doing things, and the Kansas City Chiefs capped quite a campaign by winning their first Super Bowl in 50 years, spectacular come-from-behind fashion over the San Francisco 49ers. Chiefs coach Andy Reid began his NFL career in 1992 with more than 20 of those seasons as a head coach. Prior to that, he apprenticed in the collegiate ranks for a decade, including 2 years as an assistant here in El Paso at UTEP, and Andy is my guest on this week's Fix Up Podcast. Andy, thanks for making time in your busy schedule. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm surrounded by two Teichers, man. How much better does it get than that, huh?
Is Adam the Andy himself?
One career and two guys. That's two brothers. That's great.
Is Adam behaving himself? Huh?
He's doing a good job. He works hard. Well, I'll tell you.
Well, he does. That's for sure. How has life been for you and Tammy during the last couple of months?
Yeah, we've been good. We've got family in the area here, so we're able to visit with them to keep things alive. We've got grandkids now, so that keeps everything upbeat and positive and. But it's been good. It's a new way of living for the coaches. I know that. But it's been safe, and that's also important.
Well, we were also excited for you on the Super Bowl title. How would you characterize the aftermath and its impact on you?
Well, listen, there really hasn't been a whole lot of difference. Maybe because of the pandemic a little bit, but. I've the chances I've had to go out have been, the people have been great, but it seems like they've always been great. So it really hasn't been that much different. It was a great experience, though. I don't want to slight the experience. It was a blast with a bunch of good guys. I mean, I've got in a great organization, so I don't want to slight that part either.
You've been doing this for so long. What did winning it for the first time mean to you?
Yeah, you know, we've been so close for so many years, and to get it done, I hadn't thought a lot about it. I thought more about all the players that I've had a chance to coach, and that we had been so close and we weren't able to get there. And maybe one of the most disappointing things about leaving Philadelphia was that we were knocking on the doorstep. We actually went to a Super Bowl and we weren't able to pull off the win against Patriots. So my mind kind of went there. I went to my wife and my family, and to be a coach's wife is ridiculously crazy, and same way for the kids. So I thought about that part. I thought about the Hunt family and how many years it's been since they had an opportunity to go and how hard they've worked. And Lamar Hunt isn't with us now, but he sure built a great organization and a great family, and we have that atmosphere here. So, and then the kids, the players, I mean, they were out of their minds, and that was so much fun to see. A lot of these guys have been with me for a while, so it was great to see that and the coaches and their expression. So it was just one of those moments. And I think as a head coach, you know that it's not about you. Without those people, nothing's possible. So that's kind of where our mind goes, I think, more so than patting yourself on the back. It takes a whole army to do this thing, and my mind kind of went to those people.
Chiefs certainly took an out-of-the-ordinary playoff path to the championship, recovering from substantial deficits to both Houston and Tennessee before the 21-point fourth quarter subduing the 49ers. Not exactly the way you draw it up, but what was it about the group that gave them the ability to successfully execute a similar scenario in all three games?
Yeah, well, we're one of those teams that take so much pride in their first 15 plays, and they kind of stunk in that game. So, in all three games, and we did get down in all three games. But our guys battled back. I mean, that was this team. I mean, that's like, I guess when we look back on it, we'll say they had a ton of good things happen to them during the season, a lot of big leads. But once we got in the playoffs, they had adversity, and they didn't fold. They just pounded through it and all trusted each other. And heck, as a head coach, that's about all you can ask for. So, and it really paid off for us when we were down by 24 and then down by 10 and then down by 10 again in the Super Bowl in the second half there. So our guys never gave up, and they actually got stronger.
Patrick Mahomes, Andy, we know him well from his time at Texas Tech. He's enjoyed arguably the best first two seasons as a starting quarterback in NFL history. What makes Patrick so special?
Well, he'll tell you it's because he's from Texas, the state of Texas. I'm going to tell you that, yeah, he is. I mean, he's a tribute to the state. He's a great kid. I mean, even as good a player as you see him, he's just got a good way about him. He wants to be great, but he wants everybody around him to be great at the same time. And he works so hard. He's innately a smart kid, on and off the field. And he's enjoyable to come to work with every day. And we spend so much time doing this, so we're around each other so much that you hope you have that opportunity to have a guy like that. I've been blessed at that position to have kids like that throughout most of my career. So I've been very lucky that way, all the way back to Pat Haggerty. I mean, who was a great kid. So, I mean, it's been very blessed at the quarterback spot to have some good players and great people on top of that.
You surrendered two first-round picks and more, trading up from 27th to 10th in the first round of that 17 draft to select him. What did you see in him that maybe some others missed?
Yeah, I give most of that credit to Brett Veach. Brett Veach is our general manager, and he brought me the tape, and he brought John Dorsey, our general manager, the tape at that time, and he just said, this kid's the best player I've ever seen. I mean, he was very cut and dry about it. And I didn't know a whole lot about him at that time, and I'm not sure a lot of people did. And I mean, Brett did this after he saw him just in a couple games, so it wasn't like there were a lot of people after him at that time. But he just goes, the way he handles himself and the way he plays the game, and you know, it's just, I think in our offense he'd be great. So you know, that's where it started. And then Brett just kept pounding us and pounding us and pounding us, and then Doris made a couple moves to go up and get him in the first round, and it all worked out. And we were lucky to get him. By that time, we felt like he was going to be a great player after watching all the tape and interviewing him, seeing him in person and talking to him in person. We spent 6 hours one day with him, just grinding on him, football stuff, and at our facility. And he handled all of it very well. Like I said, with great grace, and smart kid and tough and all those things. And then we were just hoping to transfer into the National Football League, but it did. And we got a dry run. And Alex Smith was so big in this kid's growth. Alex was our quarterback before Patrick and was actually here for Patrick's first year. So we had clinched a spot in the playoffs. We couldn't get any higher seed. So I sat Alex and the rest of the starters on offense, and Pat took over. We were playing the Denver Broncos, and Denver was fully loaded on defense at that time. They played all their guys. They weren't going to sit anybody. So Pat had an opportunity to play against a real good players, and he did a nice job with that. And so I went, all right, listen, this kid's got a little something. I anticipated Alex coming back. It didn't work that way. Alex went on to go to Washington and help them get that thing going down there. So, and then Pat took over and ended up winning the MVP his first year, and then taking us to the Super Bowl his second year as a starter, third year in the league.
Just how much better do you think he can get?
Yeah, I've joked about this with my coaches, with the team, the media, everybody. You know, playing quarterback in this league, and really being a player, but in particular a quarterback because of the responsibility level. It's like being a farmer. You know, your work's never done. So, I mean, you got to keep working and working and working at your craft. And he's got a ton of room and things he can work on. So he's not, I mean, I tell people, listen, I mean, the beautiful thing about this is he has plenty of room to grow and he wants to keep on growing. So he wants to keep giving him things so he can get better. And so for myself and Eric Bieniemy and Mike Kafka, that's a beautiful thing. That's something that you wake up and you go, man, I can't wait to find something we can give this kid and let him get after and chew it up and go. And the guys around him are kind of that same way. I mean, they whether they feed off it or they're just innately that way, that they want you to give them things to so they can be the best. And like I said, it's an enjoyable group to coach. And thank goodness we're getting a bunch of them back, which is a tribute to Brett Veach and, you know, the job that he's done.
Andy, let's talk about your staff for just a minute. Your son, Britt, is part of your staff. How much fun is it to work with him?
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable. I mean, I've had a chance now to work with him, my youngest son, Spencer, and my son-in-law, Devin Woodhouse. So it's been great. Britt's been with me my whole time here, going on 8 years now. So he's been here. He's working with the linebackers now. He was with the D-line before. And so, yeah, no, I enjoy every minute of that. I tell him I really don't enjoy him as much as I enjoy his three grandkids, his three children. And so it's great to have them around, and especially for Tammy, who is now alias Sparkle as grandma. So she's Sparkle to the grandkids, and they love her for that. So she gets to spend more time with them than I do.
Remember Dave Tobe, a former minor player and coach, your assistant head coach and coordinates the Chiefs special teams, also worked with you here at UTEP, Missouri, and with the Eagles. Why is Dave so good at what he does?
Yeah, well, Dave was a great minor. He played there and then coached there. That's where I met him. As he was kind of bouncing back and forth. You remember back in the day there, John, he was always going and working out Rams and Eagles and all those different teams at that time, trying to hook on with an NFL team. But he was also our strength coach and then went to Missouri and ended up being the strength coach there. And then they had a tragic thing happen with their defensive line coach, and he moved over, and the defensive line coach passed away there, and he ended up moving in and taking over that spot. And then I was able to get him up to Philadelphia with me that first year. And he was an assistant special teams coach. He was actually the first quality control special teams coach in the National Football League. I mean, it's crazy. Now everybody's got two or three guys. And then he went to Chicago and has had a great career. And now he's back. We're back together here. He's the assistant head coach and special teams coach. And he's arguably the best in the business. I mean, I'm partial, but he's had just a phenomenal career as a coach. And I was hoping that somewhere here he'd get a head coaching job. I mean, he'd do a great job of that. But solid guy, straight shooter, honest. He's not going to pull any punches with you. He's going to tell you how it is, and he's got a great rapport with the players and obviously been very productive.
And to show you what a small world this is, and you may not even know this, your offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, you mentioned him. His nephew, Jamal, just transferred from Oklahoma to play basketball here at UTEP. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I know – he was playing at Oklahoma. I knew that. I think he's a pretty good player. So that's a great thing for the minors. I was there with Coach Haskins, so I was friendly with him and got to know him, and Hardaway and the guys, they were all there. I mean, what a great tradition of basketball there. I mean, it's nothing like having a couple tacos down at the Haddads and getting your car washed, but I mean, it was great tradition there. So,
can you believe it's been 30 years since you spent the two seasons as the Miners' offensive line coach? Andy, what do you remember most about your time in El Paso?
Well, first of all, I loved it. It started off with Dirk Cutter, who is also on the staff now. He's been an NFL head coach and coordinator forever here now. It started off with those guys having a powder blue Cougar car, Mercedes car from Craig Fortune, the Mercury dealership. And so they have that thing lined up for me. And I go, okay, I get it. You know, being a BYU guy and the Cougars and the blue and all that. Back at the same time, we were in the same conference, the old WAC conference. So that started off. That was my first day in El Paso. Other than that, I just the people there were just absolutely phenomenal. The support was great. We had good players. Coach Bob Stahl had done a great job there. I came a year after he had been there, but he had sure built a great foundation. And we ended up in the Independence Bowl going against Brett Favre just by chance. But man, I have fond memories. I loved it there. Absolutely loved it. Great people. I mean, just great people. That community. The university, all, and, you know, it was, like I said, a phenomenal experience.
You coached some colorful characters at UTEP, Sean Kugler, Robert Kufall, James Spady among them. What do you recall about those three in particular?
Well, I still stay in touch with them. I mean, those are all guys that, you know, I was close with them there, and we had such great success. And I just did a thing for Jeff Grimes. He's a coordinator up at offense coordinator at BYU. I just did a thing for his unit on one of these chats. So, but Poof and Coog and Spady, I mean, they're great guys. Obviously, those first two kept us on our toes, you'd say, with Coog and Poof. Coog's actually coaching in the NFL, and Poof's done a great job of selling insurance out in California there and made a lot of good money and is a great father, which is probably the most important thing. And then James Spady, likewise, a great father and a football coach. So all these guys have sure turned out well, and I'm proud of each one of them. And they're good kids.
You mentioned Bob Stahl, who, of course, you went to Missouri with after your time here at UTEP. Talk about your relationship with Bob and what he meant to you in your career.
Yeah, I just talked to him the other day. He moved back here to Columbia, so Missouri, which sits right in the middle of the state. It's where University of Missouri was. I think the world of him. I thought he was just a phenomenal head football coach, and he was a great recruiter and of players and coaches. I mean, Ken Flagel was another one who's in the National Football League with the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. So he knew how to hire people and good people, and we had a great staff, and we had just a ton of success at El Paso. And I felt like we were right on the edge there. When I ended up going to Green Bay, I felt like I was leaving something really special to go to the Packers. And to this day, I kind of feel guilty about that. But they were right on the edge of getting that thing turned there, and we sure had some good games. So. But anyways, I think the world of Bob Stahl.
Mike Holmgren hired you with the Packers, and you were on the offensive line track. And up until that time, you coached offensive line exclusively. How did it develop that you got on the quarterback track and ultimately wound up coaching Favre?
Yeah, so when I went to Green Bay with Mike Holmgren, I was with Mike Holmgren right when I got done playing at BYU. They hired him there. So I got to know Mike very well. And coach goes, hey, listen, I'm going to hire you. The first time I get a head coach job, I'm going to hire you. I go, yeah, right. And this is when I'm just done playing. And he did. He got the head coaching job at Green Bay. And he called me up and he goes, all right, you ready to go? I go, yeah. I guess I'm ready to go. I think we just lost on the fifth down play to Colorado. We played Miami pretty good and that whole deal. So anyways, ended up going with them. And it was another great experience. He told me, I want to be the best offensive line coach in the National Football League. He goes, oh my gosh, would you look outside the box? He says, you got to expand your horizon. I go, okay. Let's see where this goes. So he made me the tight end coach and then assistant offensive line coach. I was lucky enough to be there with Tom Lovett, who was a long time offensive line coach in the National Football League, but you guys would remember him from being the head coach at Utah back when they were in the WAC conference. So he had actually played at the University of Utah and then ended up being the head coach there. So anyways, Tom took me in as the assistant line coach, and then I coached the tight ends, and I was blessed with these guys. I had two Pro Bowl guys between Keith Jackson and Mark Chmura. I mean, I was sitting pretty at that spot. And then when the quarterback coaches, Steve Mariucci, left and Marty Mornowig left, all of a sudden he goes, "Hey, you want to do the quarterbacks?" And I go, "Yeah, sure, why not?" I had been, by that time, I knew Brett really well. And so I took over, and, you know, our guy got a couple of those MVP awards and did a nice job. And like we all know in this business, if you're blessed to be around a good quarterback, they have the chance to create a lot of head coaches and start their own tree. And so I was part of that, along with Steve and John Gruden. We had a bunch of guys that had Ray Rhodes. We had a bunch of guys that had opportunities to move on. And most of it was because of Brett's success and Coach Holmgren's ability to teach.
Of course, it all began for you as a grad assistant for the great Lavelle Edwards at your alma mater, BYU. Was Lavelle your biggest influence? And talk about the opportunity to work and learn from him.
Yeah, I tell you, that's why I got into coaching. I mean, he asked me when I was a junior, I think it was. He goes, "Have you ever thought about coaching?" I said, "No, not really." And he goes, "Well, why don't you think about it?" And I go, "All right." So I jumped over on that side, and after I got done playing, and ended up being a graduate assistant, and he let me help run the junior varsity program along with Famika Nye. You probably know that name from all the great grandsons and sons that he had playing there. I actually played with three of them in my time at BYU. So Famika and I had a chance to work with a junior varsity team, and it was a great experience. And then coach, I mean, this is a crazy story, John. Coach Edwards called me every week, once a week, from the time that I left BYU, just to check on me. I think he felt guilty. He loved my wife. He's probably a little leery on me, but he loved my wife. So I think he was just checking on that he didn't lead me in the wrong direction by putting me in coaching. So, but he called me every week up until he got a little bit older, and then I started calling him once a week, and we talked for a lot of years. We had some great conversations and visits.
Andy, one last thing. You've kept your roster largely intact from the Super Bowl season a year ago. Given the current events, isn't that a huge advantage with the limited or no on-field activities for everybody this offseason?
Yeah, so right now we get to do 2 hours of WebEx meetings with our players, and then that's it. So the guys, you know, they get together and do their thing, but we can't be involved with that, and they can't do it at our facility. So, but anyways, yeah, no, on paper it looks like a big thing. You never know in the NFL on how your season is going to go. There's an injury here or there or whatever. A ball bounces the wrong way. It's not round like a basketball, right, John? So that thing bounces some crazy ways. So, but I would tell you, Brett Veach, I mean, did an outstanding job of re-signing all our players. I mean, for the most part, we've got everybody coming back, and I have a chance to talk to these kids, and they're hungry, and you know they want to run it back and do that. So it's they're positive. You just have to do it one game at a time. If you go back and look at our highlight tape and they take you through each game on that thing, you see the challenges and the hurdles that we had to get over. And those will be even more magnified now because you're the champion. So you'll be everybody's A game, and you got to handle that a certain way and stay aggressive, continue to work hard and do the right things. Do all the small things, all the sacrifice things to give yourself at least a chance to get back there.
Andy, I can't tell you how enjoyable it always is to chat with you. Thanks for doing this and speaking for El Paso, UTEP, and all Miner fans. Again, we congratulate you on a much-deserved Super Bowl championship. Look forward to watching as the Chiefs look to go back-to-back in 2020.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, some of the best years, those couple years that I was there, we loved it, man. I'm proud to say that I had a chance to coach at UTEP. I mean, I loved every minute of it, and I appreciated you asking me to do this and our relationship going way back, a lot of years. We're not getting any younger, but that's special too. So thanks again.
I hope you enjoyed this chapter of the Picks Up Podcast, a UTEP Athletics production. Stay well, Picks Up, and go Miners. I'll talk to you again next time on another edition of the Picks Up Podcast.